Let's do this. Hello everyone, we are back with another episode of My Last Joint Podcast, and this one is a little bit random, seeing as it was kind of scheduled a few hours before the actual recording, and I kind of went back to my roots. I went to visit our Leafs community, and I saw a very interesting post from a certain individual. I'll let kind of present himself, but it was a post about creativity in weed. And instead of me talking here and doing the introduction, why don't I let my guest today do the proper introduction?
Hi, my name is Leopold. I'm a professional video editor in New York City. I've been an artist my whole life, as a filmmaker, video artist, and an electronic musician. And weed has also been the love of my life, kind of, since I was 18. I smoked my first joint in New Orleans and fell in love with it. And shortly after, when I moved from Texas to New York City. Is it okay if I just jump right into everything here? Or?
Yeah, I mean, listen, just feel free to keep going. I mean, obviously, later on, I'll ask some questions, but yeah, feel free to just, yeah.
Cool. I'll just give you a quick overview. So I grew up in Texas, and I was an artist growing up, and my parents were really strict, and they drug tested me like every month randomly, so I could never smoke weed, but I always kind of wanted to, but never did. I was always too afraid to. And then when I was 18, the last summer before going to college, I went on a trip to New Orleans with my friends, and somebody gave me a joint, and I smoked it, because I was like, you know what, I'm going to college now. My parents get upset, they can't do anything. And we went to the New Orleans Art Museum, and it was so beautiful. I was crying looking at the paintings. I fell in love that day. And moved to New York City shortly after from Texas to go to film school. And I had a falling out with my parents shortly after that time. Because of lots of reasons that don't necessarily, I guess, need to be gone into. But long story short, I found myself kind of estranged from my entire family and all alone out here in New York City. And I am a video editor, so editing is my passion. And I actually ended up dropping out of film school when I started getting some really nice editing jobs. And so I became a full-time assistant editor, and now I'm a full-time editor. And somewhere around that time when I went full-time and I started work on one particular really big project that is a really big awards show. It involves working at the computer like every single day for over a month. And that was the first time I'd ever been really like slammed beyond what like a human should ever be expected to work, you know, like for a full month, really. I was just expected to always be ready to do anything and just not even like leaving the studio, not really even going outside for a full month. And my office was in Times Square, and one night I just stepped out and people were selling pot out on the streets. And, you know, I had this feeling of, I just haven't done anything with my day. You know, I've just been at the computer all day. And I feel like humans, we're social creatures. We need to go outside. We need to walk around. We need to hang out with people and see new things and new sights and sounds. And when you're working all day, overworking yourself, and you only have 30 minutes of free time before you go to sleep, you start going crazy, you start getting depressed. And I started using that 30 minutes of free time to smoke weed because it would give my brain a ton of dopamine and I would feel like a human again. I'd be like, okay, I got to have some fun. Now I can go to sleep and I can keep going. So that was what kind of made me start smoking every single day, was the super busy job I had basically. And I started making a lot of music. And when I was 18, I started getting pretty serious about making music. And it was a very subconscious experience making music. Like I never even had to think about it or plan it or put in any conscious effort. I would just get a big bucket of pomegranate juice and fill it with tequila and smoke a ton of weed and just jam for hours. And then by the end of it, I would have some like terrible experimental song, but I would listen to it high, like really high. And I would be like, whoa, I love this. Like I'm seeing myself present in the work, you know, I can sense me in the music. And it became a way of life. It became my everything, I guess. Like not just weed, but creating, sitting at the computer, editing video, making music, smoking weed. You know, that's what I was addicted to. I'm not just addicted to like cannabis. It's like the combination of cannabis with the other things. It's all of it together. You know, it's like the philosophy of just chasing the next like high, I guess, and only thinking about that. And you know, that's the kind of the way it was for many years for me, for like 4 years of just smoking every single day, all day, working all day, like Saturdays and Sundays, like every single day. And I would feel good when I was like going for it in the moment. But then every night, you know, lying in bed, I would just have this terrible feeling of like burnouts. I would feel so fried, like my brain is fried. And I would feel like I'm making bad music. I'm making bad work. I would feel like I'm just wasting my time at the end of the day. And I've always wanted to like shake out of this mindset, and it's been felt impossible. Like, there's just been so many reasons to smoke, I guess, and so many temptation, like so much temptation to just get high and just escape life, I guess. And I'm finally recently turning the leaf where I'm not really desiring smoke. Like, I haven't wanted to. And there's been a few times where I've been able to take breaks and quit for like a week or two, but then it's never stuck. And I feel like finally this time it's going to stick. And it's taken me a long time to like get to this place. And it's taken a lot of therapy and a lot of just time progressing. Like, there was really no way I could rush this process. I just had to get here. I just had to live. And it's been sad, honestly. Like, my heart goes out to anyone that's ever finds themselves in a similar situation where they feel trapped in life because they're hooked into like a certain mindset, you know, a certain groove that feels really good, but they hope deep down one day they can get out of it, you know? I trust that they can, like they will. And if I can share anything like helpful to anyone, you know, I'd love to take that opportunity and answer any questions you might have. I feel like, I don't know, I've just kind of given you the overview, I guess.
No, that's real. That's spot on. I like to have a kind of overview so I can then like go and formulate some questions and dig a little bit deeper. Before we go on, can I ask you a random question? Can you hear the clock in the back?
I don't.
No. Okay, that's fine. No. All right. So that's very interesting. And going back to what you were saying a little bit earlier, did I hear right that the first time you kind of picked up weed, the first time you kind of smoked is when you went out on the street and you found someone that is selling weed?
Not the first time.
Uh-huh.
The first time I smoked, you know, when I first started smoking, it would only be like once a month with some friends, you know, they would give me some pot and I would smoke with them. Mm-hmm. And then I would feel pretty guilty about it. I would be like, damn, I shouldn't be doing that. I need to be sober. I need to not be. I kind of, at first in my life, I viewed stoners as just like silly people. I was just like, that's so stupid. Why would you smoke weed? Like, I'm never going to do that. Then I would smoke with my friends a little bit. But then when I was like 18 and working full time, and just like working all the time, in fact, that's when I one day stepped out of my office and people were selling weed, and I just bought it, went home, smoked it, and became a daily smoker from that point on, because it helped with my feeling of burnout, you know. Or so I thought. What I realized now is it actually made it easy for me to just ignore my sense of burnouts, because for the last like 4 years I've been working myself to death, kind of just taking on way too many projects, and the weed makes it so that I just don't feel the burnout, but it's still there. And it just has gotten like worse and worse. But I've just, the weed gives me the ability to just completely forget about that. You know, like weed, I feel like weed puts you in the clouds, you know, puts your head in the clouds. And that's a nice place to be when you're there. It feels great. You're floating. You don't feel pain. You don't know about the world beneath you. You know, you just feel the softness of the clouds. And up there in the clouds, you can edit until you drop dead. Like, you can just keep going because it's fun. It's lovely. And when you're editing high, everything is good. When you're making music high, pretty much everything sounds good. So it makes it really easy. Just fire up a bowl, keep cutting. But, you know, realize how much you're frying yourself, like in terms of how many hours you're working, you know, now that I'm like sobering up a little bit, it's a lot easier for me to realize when I've just pushed myself beyond my limits and it's time to just take a break, step away. And that's a lot better for my eyes and my ears, my joints, you know, and my sleep. Like,
okay.
So,
can I ask you, just to kind of get a better understanding, how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
22 going on 23.
22 going on 23. So, I wanted to dig a little bit deeper early on because you said that you kind of started smoking with your friends and then you kind of picked it up by yourself, right? So when would you say this transition kind of happened from you kind of smoking with your friends and then you kind of picking it up by yourself and then developing a habit?
So I first smoked the summer of 2018 with my friends, and then I became a daily smoker August 2019. So it was about a year. It's about a year of just like casual smoking here and there.
Would you be able to kind of describe how this transition happens? Do you actually, like, when you're in the moment, do you actually realize that?
No, I you know, there really wasn't a transition to it. It was kind of just like one night I just said, screw it, I'm going to buy my own weed tonight. You know, and that was the first time I had ever bought my own weed. That's what I like. And, you know, I was just driving over the bridge back home in New York City and like listening to this like Lil Peep song, and it's got a lyric that's like making my money and smoking my weed. And I just fell in love with that. I was just like, yo, I'm out here, I'm all by myself, I'm independent, I'm making my own money, I'm buying my weed. Like, this is amazing. No one can tell me what to do. I can get high all I want, and this is happening.
Okay. So going forward then a little bit, would you say that kind of a weed started being almost your catalyst, almost your kind of output for the amount of work you put in?
100%. It felt like, in my mind, that my art forms like music and video were somehow like related to weed, like they were sisters or something. And to engage in one was to engage in the other, you know? And now I realize that it's simple. Like, weed is a drug. And when you do a drug, you know, with your brain, next time you are in a similar situation to when you did the drug, it sees the visual cues and the auditory cues that you usually associate with the drug. Then it expects the drug again, you know? It's really as simple as that. It's like Pavlovian, I guess. So that happened for me, you know? Like, it became impossible for me to sit down and start making music and not be like, whoa, this would be amazing if I was high, you know? So.
Interesting. Okay. All right, so at what point would you say, I mean, going kind of forward, and you kind of said earlier that, you know, you start smoking by yourself. You obviously, at this point, I would imagine you're doing good money. You also have a lot of work. At what point would you kind of say that, you know, you kind of stepped back a little bit and said, okay, well, we're really going fast here? Did that ever happen, or was that kind of recently?
Well, that thought had crept up in my mind from the very beginning. You know, I was always kind of like, maybe it's bad to smoke weed. But then I, you know, when I became a daily smoker, I was like, no, it's great to smoke weed. Weed's amazing. It's flawless. It's perfect. And for a long time, that's how it was for me. I was totally happy with it. No problems. But then I did start to think like, wow, I'm smoking too much weed. I think I started to think that because my tolerance just went so high. Like, my tolerance became really high to weed, to the point that I really just didn't even really feel it. And when that started happening, I started being like, okay, I need to like take a tolerance break, you know, so I can feel the drug again. But I just never could, even though I wanted to. That's when things started becoming like, damn, like, I wish I could stop smoking weed. And, you know, I just couldn't. The sadness would come back. Like, in life, I deal with some sadness. I mentioned earlier that, like, I don't have a great relationship with my parents, and that has given me a lot of sadness. You know, I've really felt alone, like, you know, and I'm kind of a workaholic, so I am kind of alone out here most of the time in New York City, just working by myself. And, you know, every day this feeling would just hit me of like complete aloneness. And when that feeling would hit me, like, I just would need to dull it. Because you know, when I would smoke weed, I would completely forget about any of my problems. And suddenly I would just be this like free spirit, just making my art, not thinking about anything else, you know?
Okay. Would you say that kind of you started with kind of taking weed as this kind of a fun thing that you kind of, you know, upgrade to your lifestyle as in terms of working and making money, but then down the line it kind of began this medicating tool, or would that be a completely off assessment?
I think that's roughly true. I definitely have used weed to kind of as like a medicine for myself. And it was great at first, but then it just, my tolerance became too high to it, and I just kept up with that by just like smoking a ton, you know? I kind of messed up my own tolerance. Like when I was at my like peak usage, like I would easily be smoking 10 bowls a day, if not like more, because basically every time I would make a new version of an edit or a new version of a song, I'd step outside, smoke pot, come back in the studio, review it, and just keep doing that sun up, sun down. So I just completely destroyed my tolerance. And it started to just become this like bad feeling of like, I'm not having fun. I'm not getting high. I'm just shoveling some substance into my mouth. And I started like eating junk food kind of too a lot, and a lot of crappy foods. And it started becoming this gross feeling of like, I'm not enjoying this. I'm just like shoveling stuff into me.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. But just to, for kind of a, I guess for my own, what's the word I'm looking for? No, imagination, for my own understanding. So what would be like 10 bowls? What would that be in grams? Like how much weed would that be per day? Just to kind of get to a rough idea.
I would say probably like smoking and at least like an 8 every 2 weeks, but like by at least just on my own, but also like by a lot of my like friends are also stoners, so smoking there as well. So probably like 3 8s a month.
Okay. Oh, I do. Can I ask you, New York City, right?
Yes.
Is the weed you are getting, is that like from the dealers or would that be from the dispensary?
I had a dealer.
You had a dealer. I guess what? Sorry, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, unfortunately, the dealer that I had for like 3 years, recently they were on their scooter delivering to me and they were hit by a car. They've been in the hospital for a long time. So that actually kind of, as terrible as that is, that's kind of made it easier for me to come back and stop because I can't just text someone and be like, hey, can I have some weed, please? And then it's there at my doorstep. Like, it's very easy to get a pot in New York City. People deliver it to you very quickly and cheaply. And it's really easy to just fire off a text, you know?
I guess what I was aiming with the previous question as well is I wanted to a little bit explore whether the weed, because I do remember in the beginning you said you were getting from a kind of a dealer, but I was thinking maybe perhaps later on you were getting it from dispensary. I wanted to kind of explore whether there's a different weed and perhaps it were in a weed in the dispensary is a little bit more potent. But so I wanted to continue. And early on you mentioned a very interesting kind of a concept which I can definitely relate to being a professional full-time stoner, is when you're like almost, you kind of start smoking in the beginning just to kind of, you know, do something, upgrade. But then it's almost like every time there's something new, like you said, every time there's a new song, every time there's a new hit, every time there's a little task, it's almost like you break it up and the weed is like this reward, but then it's not really reward. It's just the instigator. I wanted to explore a little bit further that.
It's a sad feeling when you're used to chasing a high and then you can't quite get it. It sucks. Like with weed makes you feel happy. It makes you feel so good. And so you can be pleased doing anything. You can be sitting on the floor with no stimulation. And if you're high enough, you're going to be having a great time. So I found myself constantly just living life and thinking about, oh, well, what can I do while I'm smoking weed that will be nice and fun? And but then when it stops like giving you the right high, you just find yourself kind of grasping for straws, you know? It's like there's a limit to how high you can get, you know, and you're going to run into it. If you're sober, you don't run into it. You just do things that make you happy. They make you happy. If you're bored, you find something to do. Like with weed, it's different. You need to get the high, I guess. And if you can't get that, then you're going to be bummed out and, or just, you're going to have a feeling of like grasping for straws.
Absolutely. Kind of continuing the story. So you kind of realized that you perhaps going a little over the board and you started to take breaks, but you said that those breaks weren't really effective, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, they would feel good when I would take them, but then, you know, I would just, something would trigger my sadness, honestly. Like something would just make me really sad. I would just feel the empty feeling again. And I would just think, you know what, like me and cannabis, we're best friends. Like I love cannabis. It's who I am. Like I should just accept it. And I would just text the dealer. I just could never make a tolerance break last.
All righty. So going forward then, at what point you kind of made this conscious decision that perhaps this has gone way too far?
I can't say there was like one moment where I really felt that way. I just started to feel I'm smoking too much weed, but then I just kept smoking too much weed for a long, long time, you know? And I was happy with that lifestyle because it's what I was used to. But deep down, I was always like, I pray for the day where one day I'm out of this. I was always like, I don't know what's going to be that comes along and going to get me out of this, but I really hope one day the stars will align and I'll be able to take a freaking tolerance break. And recently, I guess a number of factors have just like come together to make that possible. A really big one is like getting into therapy again. You know, my therapist just recommended I should take some time off of smoking weed, and somehow hearing them tell me that just was different than myself thinking, hey, I should take a break, you know, because I pay the therapist like a lot of money and I to trust them, you know, and kind of hand it over my mental health advice, yeah, to them. So for them to just tell me that really made me, it really helped me. It really made me be like, okay, I have to now because my therapist told me. So, you know, if in the next session I tell them I have smoked, then that's like, I haven't done the assignment. I haven't done, it's like I'm wasting my money, you know, on the therapy. Mm-hmm. So that hugely helps. And, you know, I also kind of passed a peak with my work. Like I kind of burned out, honestly. You know, by like recently, actually in 2022, I took on too much work and I used the pot to make that like possible for me to do. But I just passed a point where I took on more than anyone could physically even do. And by the end of it, I got like a 104 degree fever and like headaches and diarrhea and shakes and chills. And for days, I was just like going in and out of sleep because I was just so tired and so sick. And I was just drifting in and out of these like fever dreams, and they were scary and like unpleasant. And I, for like a whole week, I was basically not even a human. And there was this one really awful moment where I was grabbing some breakfast, and any thought of video editing just made me sick. Like when I just thought of an edit timeline, it just made me want to throw up. And that was a terrible feeling because my whole life, like editing has been my passion and my main love. And it's always been something that can get me inspired and make me happy. But that morning, any thought of anything remotely related to my art just made me feel sick because I was so burned out. And even writing an email or checking a calendar just felt like a monumental task because I was just so burned out. And I had to take a few days. I had to tell my boss, like, I cannot work today. I physically just can't. I have this terrible fever and I felt like I was dying. And after that, I was like, okay, I realized that I did a recipe for burnout, you know, I took on way too much and I can't ever do that again. I need to I need to take a lot better care of myself, and I need to take on less. Like, it's really easy to overdo it in life, but it's crucial not to. And I just really learned that. And I think that has helped me quit, because I've shifted my like whole life philosophy. I'm no longer trying to just like put the pedal to the metal and chase the best artistic high I can 24/7. Like, I'm trying to go for more balance, you know? So I'd say those are the factors that have kind of come together, but also just like time, you know, time has had to go by. I've had to like grieve my parents, honestly, like, and move past that and get this feeling of like complete emptiness and aloneness. Like, I've had to, you know, 3 years ago or 4 years ago, that pain was so palpable that it was really hard to function, but now it's quite dull. So it's a lot easier for me to resist the temptations these days. And that was something that I really could not have made go any faster. I really just needed time for that to heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. And I commend you for the whole process and realizing as well that it's a journey, not a challenge, which I think we all kind of guilty going into this. It's almost like, well, I just need to quit tweet and my life will be magically resolved. But sooner or later, we realize that that's just a tiny drop in the ocean, right? There is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
100%. Like, to decide that you want to stop smoking weed is really not a question of weed. It's really a question about life itself and what you want out of your life. That's something my therapist said to me that like really hit me, because, you know, drugs change your brain. That's why we like them, because we like how they change our brain. And I mean, over time, those changes become more permanent, I guess. And I think it really just strikes at the heart of like what you want in your life, like where you want to get your happiness from. It's a philosophical question, I guess, like really, like, I don't know, it strikes at something bigger than just, you know, one plant. Cause you could be addicted to any drug, you know, it's less about the drug. It's more about what's driving you to escape your life and need to be in the clouds constantly. There's like deeper reasons that make you want that, you know?
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that you opened this topic. We actually kind of discussed this early on our daily meetings in the community. And there was a question about the side effects of weed. And I think it's almost the first thing people do when they want to quit weed is they look at the bad things, the side effects, and, you know, the things that are harmful when it comes to weed. But really, what we should be looking at is why we do want weed in the first place. Like you said it yourself, like if you go and abuse any substance whatsoever, there must be kind of a reaction back in there. There is the force that is pulling you to do it. And that's the force we have to explore rather than explore the after effects or the damage. I'm so glad that you said that. I wanted to explore a little bit, and I hope you don't mind seeing you kind of in the whole artistic industry and movie industry. Would you be able to compare your creativity back to where you were kind of smoking heavily and to nowadays when you, sorry, how long you've been sober?
Only a few days at the moment, unfortunately, but I have like gone through a big like shift, you know, that I don't even like desire it.
Mm-hmm.
And like before these last 3 days of like full sobriety, I'd been like cutting back very significantly, like over a long period of time. To answer your question, it's so much more fun now creating, you know, and it actually is. It's a lot more enjoyable. It's a lot more interesting because now the only high I can get is from the art itself. That's the only thing that's going to like give me any pleasure is what I'm creating. And that's scary. You know, that's a big leap to go to, because if you're art isn't good, you know, it's not going to give you that high, I guess. And so it's a big readjustment, but like once you get used to it, it's so much more fascinating because I really like my art and I really believe in it. And it takes, I'm pretty good at doing it now. Like I just finished a long certificate in making music through Berklee. And having finished that, I feel like quite professional at making music. I produce electronic music and, you know, I can spend like months on a track and tinker with them like for a long time, making thousands of different choices. And it's really fun to be doing that sober now. It's really exciting. I feel like, you know, I love the discovery of making art. You know, you find it along the way, you like birth it, you watch it come into being. And now there's no other substance in there giving me any feeling. It's just me and the puzzle that I'm trying to put together. And so it, you know, like I said earlier, weed is kind of like puts you in the clouds, which is a great feeling. But the downside of that is you lose some clarity on life. And so, yes, like bad things feel less painful, but the good things are a little bit dulled too, because you are kind of seeing them with a little bit less clarity. That's the brutal truth of it, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was just going to say my work is also a lot better now because, I mean, sometimes I'd be making music and getting high and I would just feel like, am I just an idiot? Am I just making a terrible song here and messing around? It's like, but now I don't feel that way because I'm sober. So I know that I'm not just messing around. You know, there's no feeling of that. Mm-hmm. Really helps me navigate all the different decisions an artist has to make, you know?
Anything. Just going to kind of a little bit early when we were talking about being sober, like there's no definition whatsoever of being sober, whether it's, you know, if you're sober one day or if you're sober one month or if you're sober for 10 years, sober is kind of a decision, the conscious decision that we make. And, you know, absolutely applaud you for that. And you shouldn't be ashamed whatsoever if it's a few days or if it's, you know, whatever is the timeline, the decision you're all making is the conscious and that's what it counts. I wanted to explore a little bit, and I hope you don't mind me asking, and I'm not sure how much we'll be able to explore, but the whole music industry, would you say it's quite riddled, or would you say there's a lot of kind of a cannabis? I mean, there certainly is a lot from my perspective, especially hearing like rap music or, you know, kind of a hip-hop music, and weed is almost like this ideal or like pedestal of industry, if you will. Would you be able to kind of give your opinion on the whole thing?
I mean, yes, that's 100% the case. Like pot and music, pot and film, for some reason they're really interlinked. You know, I've heard that. I heard someone say once, like I heard a producer say, never trust an editor if they don't have a bubbler in their edit bay. Okay. And my theory is just that it's just people in general. Like drugs are just hugely popular with humans in general, adults in general. Like, I mean, anyone, everyone, like that's just the way it is, you know? I mean, for, I guess, obvious reasons. I mean, people want to feel good. They want to feel happy.
Yeah. Do you think I would ever succeed if I would go and promote sober music?
What do you mean? I'm sorry.
I'm saying if you think that I would ever succeed if I would go and promote like sober music.
Like, I mean, yeah, I think it would probably succeed, I guess.
Okay. It was just a random question. I was just a little bit out of nowhere. How are you? I mean, listen, I gotta say that's a very interesting story, and especially for the age you are, being 22, I feel like you almost kind of leaped over a big hurdle, and it kind of gave you a lot of insights about yourself, but not just on yourself, also about life and how to win over things. You know, can I ask you, was it your decision to get a therapy or?
Originally, yes. Like, but that was like, I first got in therapy like years ago, and then I left it, and then I was kind of like, oh, therapy's great, I'd like to get back into it, but I just never did. I was always like kind of just too lazy, I'll get to it. But then my girlfriend actually kind of really pushed me to get back into it. I'm so glad she did, because it's really gotten me back on a great track.
That's so awesome.
Thanks, sir.
Mm-hmm. Could I ask you, I mean, over in New York, New York City, how would one go about finding a therapist?
Well, I guess first it depends if you have money or not. Like, mm-hmm. therapists are quite expensive. You have to figure out if you're going to pay out of pocket or pay with insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got money or you've got insurance, then I recommend just like ZocDoc.com. Okay. Just find a therapist on there. If you don't have money or insurance, then you'll need to get free therapy or sliding scale therapy. So you could go on ZocDoc and find someone that offers sliding scale therapy, or you'll have to find some kind of community social service, which unfortunately I don't have those resources on hand, but I know that they're out there. I know that free therapy is a resource offered,
mm-hmm.
Especially for substance abuse problems. It's definitely free substance abuse counseling out there.
Yeah.
Just gotta look for it.
Absolutely. And for anyone that is listening, Mylash Joint is probably one of them. And we have our own community. But you also have plenty of other outlets as well. I met Leopold on Our Leaves, which is a community on the Reddit social network. So go and check out that one as well. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the therapy. Now, not about the therapy itself and what's being discussed there, but how did therapy help you?
Well, my therapist gets me, you know, they understand mm-hmm. me. They really have a pretty good grip on who I am and
mm-hmm.
what my struggles are.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got into therapy this last time, I really wanted to improve. You know, by the time I got into therapy, I was really tired of struggling with the same emotional dilemmas that have given me so much pain and suffering, you know, not just like weed, but just big picture. And so hearing from someone that is a pro that I pay, who knows me well, hearing from them that I should probably take some time off from smoking weed, it made it so that it is impossible for me not to. You know, it just made it, mm-hmm. it seemed so obvious. I was like, this is something I'm assigned to do for my therapist. So I've got to do it. Mm-hmm. I think that was the thing that really pushed me to this point. Otherwise, I just would have continued to be like one day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I wanted to ask you as well, which is something I often hear in the podcast, and perhaps that was not the case with you, but I often hear that people do get therapy, but then they don't really share the kind of abuse of marijuana. Was that something you kind of struggled with as well, and you kind of opened straight away?
I didn't even bring it up until like many sessions in. I just never thought to for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, one day I just did. My therapist has like a technique where we meditate like every session. We'll do a little bit of silent meditation. And then one day he just asked me, like, as we were meditating, like, when your mind drifted away from the meditation, like, where did it go? And I mentioned that it went to the fact that my brain was feeling really foggy that morning, and that I kind of wish that it didn't, and that I wish I could smoke less weed. And mm-hmm. it was a very simple conversation after that, where it's basically like, well, then you probably should smoke less weed. Maybe take a few days off, like, if you want that clarity, if you want, you know, if you want some clarity back. And it was like simple, you know, like mm-hmm. it wasn't deep. It didn't feel like a super deep philosophical revelation. The way mm-hmm. he said it just made it seem like it was so obvious. And it kind of is, like, weed isn't that different than like eating too much sugar. You know, it's just, you shouldn't do it too much. Like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's not actually that complicated. I know I'm not trying to oversimplify, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. When he said it in this way, that just made it seem like this obvious thing I had to do, just mm-hmm. somehow hearing it from like a doctor just helped me. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I know a lot of people are going to hear my story and it probably won't resonate with them. And they'll be like, well, I'm glad it was so easy for you. But like, it really wasn't. You know, there were many false, like, there have been so many false breaks. But, and, you know, I'm probably going to, honestly, to be honest, like, I'm probably will smoke weed again in life, you know, as a little bit here and there, possibly. The big thing for me, honestly, is that I'm not going to like see it as this thing I have to smoke for my hobbies, you know, and my job, like video editing and making music. I don't have any desire to be high doing those things anymore. And those are the things I do like all the time. So I feel free, you know, I feel like I'm out of, I feel like my addiction was to the whole lifestyle that I was living. And I feel like I've shaken out of that and I'm loving doing my creative things sober now. So I feel free, you know.
That's amazing. And also kudos to your therapist for kind of navigating this path to where you shared your struggle.
Yeah.
Alrighty, going a little bit further, and I think you did mention in your post that you're kind of starting your album. Is that right?
Yeah, starting an album and also an accompanying film. So I'm a multimedia artist. I make music and I also am a video artist. So I make music and then I make videos to go with them. And so I'm making an album that's going to be 30 to 50 minutes. And I'm also going to make a film to go with it. And I'm going to make the entire thing sober, I've decided, which is a super fun experiment. And it's going to be done in January 2023. So I'm really excited about that because I'm getting to, you know, it's been 4 years since I've made art sober. So it feels really new and it feels like kind of like an experiment, you know, like I myself am just totally discovering this artwork, you know, it's beautiful. It feels really good. It feels really fun and interesting. You know, I just feel intrigued by the work and I'm just every day, I'm just like excited to see the next stage in its developments.
Okay. That's amazing. I can hear your excitement. I can hear your energy and just the way you're talking about it. I can see that it means a lot to you. And
oh yeah, I've been pre-producing it for like many months now, and also been a student of Berklee College of Music for like 9 months for this like certificate program. So in that time, I've been just dreaming of the day I can finish all that school and just be free and just make my own arts. And I always thought that it would be like an epic project of just getting high and making that. But now I'm like actually excited by the prospect of doing it all sober. It thrills me. I'm actively inspired and excited to be sober and make this. And that is a feeling that's a feeling I've been dying to feel, you know, in the last years. So even though I haven't actually been sober for that long, as I'm speaking to you right now, mentally I'm free. So.
And that's the one that matters. That's the one that really gets us throughout the day and gets us further up in life. Alrighty. I kind of wanted to, before we kind of finish here, I kind of wanted to ask you if you wanted to share some of your work or perhaps share some of your, any music you feel like sharing or anything like that, seeing you are an artist. I think it's only fair.
Absolutely. I'll share my, one of my favorite works. Mm-hmm. I'll drop a link to it. I just put a YouTube link in the chat. I could definitely do better than this. This is a bit old now, but I won't have anything else to share until I'm done with this album in January. So this is the current best. And also, I would also love to give like one tiny piece of advice that I find really helpful. I don't know if I could give that now.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Lebo. Absolutely.
It's going to sound so simple, but if you're ever feeling like really bad in life, you're just feeling like shit, you're feeling really sad, or you're really wanting to smoke, my current favorite technique is to just go to sleep. Like, it seems so simple, but it's so helpful. Like, just turn that brain off. Like, I like to have a fan like this. I blast the fan right on my face, and I go to sleep for 30 minutes or an hour, 2 hours. You know, that honestly changed my life, because many times I'm sad, I'm depressed, I'm fiending, don't know what to do. Now I do. I just go to sleep. Really helpful. Really helps process trauma and problems. Like, it just gives you a reset. My number one tip.
That's awesome, Leopold. Listen, I cannot begin to thank you for this. And I know it was a little bit random, a little bit last minute as well, but you've been an absolute smashing guest. And I admire you for not only sharing your story, but also the the motivation and just the whole excitement you have there and the fire you have there being 22. And I'm absolutely sure you're going places. And I wish you all the best with your music project. I do hope you kind of give us a little bit of sneak peek, perhaps later in the year, or at least kind of give us a heads up where you have some of the material ready. But sincerely, all the best to you. And thank you for being a guest. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And thank you.
Okay. What I'll do is I will probably release this on Thursday, if not next Monday. But when I do release it, I'll send you a message over the Reddit, and it will be available online on the YouTube and on the podcast directories as well. Do you have a YouTube channel, by the way?
I do.
Okay.
It's just my name, Leopold Medley. It's my name.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Am I okay to share that one as well? Is that fine?
Yeah, totally.
Perfect. All right, Leopold. Thanks so much again. I'll click stop recording now, and then we'll quickly just have a chat.
Hey, friend. We reached the end of today's episode. Don't forget, we have our own community. Visit our website to get yourself a free trial. Thanks for listening. See you soon.